You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome to Absolute Fanco, the rugby show brought to you by Last Word Radio, in partnership with UKRugbyShop.com, number one for rugby shirts. As with always with me is Jack Pitt and Molly Smith. How are you doing, guys?
Hi.
I'm good, thanks. Good. We start, as always, with our weekend roundup, looking back at the weekend's games. And start off in the Premiership, Friday night with Northampton 52, Wasps 30. Jack, what did you think of the game?
Yeah, I thought it was an absolute cracker, wasn't it? Really good attacking rugby from both sides. I'm just going to mention the incident straight away. Obviously, the George North incident got knocked out again. And obviously, Nathan Hughes' red card. My standpoint on it, firstly, I think North should be rested for the rest of the season. And secondly, I don't think it was a red card because he's not that sort of player. What do you think about it?
I thought red was a bit harsh. I thought yellow probably would have sufficed on this. Yeah. It didn't look to be particularly malicious or deliberate, but it obviously still was clumsy play. So it didn't warrant going unpunished, but the punishment might have been a bit severe, I felt. Obviously, George North, the relevant people need to seriously look and make sure he's all right now. It's his third concussion in fairly short space of time. And you've got obviously his long-term health to think about, not just his current situation.
Yeah, no, I just think, obviously with the World Cup as well, and with the focus being centred around it, it looked quite innocuous. It didn't even look like particularly... Obviously it's probably worse when you're there, but it didn't. He was literally out cold from nothing. It's quite horrible to see, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think obviously the World Cup should be his focus. It should be making sure he's healthy and making sure it's not going to happen again, because obviously yes, the World Cup is coming up, but he's got a long life to live and you don't want to have obviously all the issues that are connected with multiple concussions. So
exactly, yeah. I think obviously it'll be looked at in detail with the experts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Northampton obviously have a duty of care to their player and need to make sure he's fit long term, not just for Wales for the World Cup.
Yeah, definitely.
Molly, your thoughts on the incident?
Yeah, agreed. I don't think it should have been a red card. It didn't look malicious. Didn't look like that was what he was intending to do. I didn't even think it was entirely reckless either. I think he was clearly just going in, and when you're going at that speed and you're putting like that much effort into trying to stop a try, I can imagine it's very difficult to try and stop, and unfortunately George North just got in the way, and whatever happened happened, and it was really unfortunate. I know there's people saying he shouldn't play for the rest of the season and should be looking towards the World Cup, and you know if that's an aim of his, obviously it'd be a massive loss to Wales if he didn't play. But like you said, Rob, I think first and foremost the main issue is his health and making sure that he's up and about. And I know they said, Jim Mallinder said after the match that he was up and about in the changing rooms and he was feeling okay. But obviously he has to go through the whole protocol and he seems to be on a run of getting knocked out at the minute.
He just needs a little bit more than the normal concussion protocols, considering the number he's had in such a short space of time.
Yeah, and it's, obviously Nathan Hughes got sent off as well, and that sort of changed the game up a bit. I think it was 27-20 when they went to half time, and then Wasps had to play the rest of the match, the rest of the 40 minutes, just down to 14 men, and obviously that made a difference to show in the 52-30 win that came about. So obviously it was a blow for Wasps, and obviously they're going to be hoping that the RFU clear clear cues on as many possible accounts that can be. But yeah, it was kind of, I know it was an important issue, but the whole game seemed to be centered around that. But despite that, some brilliant rugby was played, so you can't take away from the other, you know, 19 men that were playing on the pitch at the same time. So yeah, I thought it was a great game, great Friday night game, and it's really sort of stamped Northampton's mark on this year's Premiership, I think.
Yeah, if you look at the table, they're 10 points clear now, with I think it's 4 games to go.
Yeah. I mean, they're flying, aren't they? And I think a few more points, they managed to secure a semi-final, don't they?
Yeah.
So you know, credit to them, because they're continuing that great form, whether it's home or away. And Wasps definitely put a fight up, but trying to play with 14 men when something like that has happened, it must be difficult.
What do we make of Wasps' challenge for a playoff place now? They've now slipped 7 points behind Leicester in fourth. They're still in the European Cup, so they've got to deal with the distraction of that, whereas Leicester won't have that. Can we see Wasps catching Leicester, or do we think that they need to make sure they consolidate 6th place and the spot without having to go through the playoff as they did last year to get to the Champions Cup?
I mean, I would say consolidation, because I think it would be a shame for them to not make it at this point, because they've been so good this season at points. I think they'll full well know their situation.
They're only a point now ahead of Sale, who are in 7th.
Yeah. They were flying as well.
Yeah, I mean, Harlequins are in 8th at the moment, and they're another 8 points back on Sale. So it does look like it's going to be a race between Sale and Wasps at this point.
Yeah.
For 6th place for that last automatic spot.
And I'm not sure who has the easier running, but I don't know who you put your money on if you're...
No, and it's not that far. I mean, neither are that far off. Exeter, Leicester, Bath, and even Saracens. There's 3 points that covers 2nd to 5th at this point. So,
I mean, you say they're 7 points behind Leicester, but 7 points, if Wasps managed to get a couple of bonus wins, that sort of thing, and Leicester have got
one of Wasps' games is Leicester at home as well.
Yeah, and I think as well, apart from Wasps and London Welsh, the other 3 games that Tigers have got for the rest of the season are against teams that are above them, so they're not in for an easy ride at all. So the teams that are slightly behind them in the table, you know, things can happen and things can change, and we've seen that more apparent than not in this year's Premiership. I mean, everyone's in for the race, aren't they? So
yeah, obviously talking about Leicester, they defeated Exeter 25-18, taking them above them in the table, sort of still in March. Molly, you did obviously your thoughts on the Tigers winning at home against Exeter, obviously staking a claim for the playoffs by doing so.
Yeah, it was a good match. I know they kind of wanted to get back as much as they can after losing to them in the semi-final in the LV Cup a few weeks ago. So I think it was important having that game to really sort of get that confidence back. I know Richard Cockerell said that, you know, now they're in the 4th place position, they've really just got to continue that form, but I think that goes for a lot of the teams towards the higher end of the competition, towards the higher end of the table, sorry. It's just such a mix of teams up there this year, and it's, you know, it just shows how the standard of rugby is improving across the nation, and it's you can't guarantee the same teams are going to be in the top 4 anymore. And Leicester, you know, they got that win, but as I just said, they've not got particularly easy games towards the end of the season. I know they've got Saints, and I know they've got Wasps away at the Ricoh Arena. So there's a lot to prove still. But they did what they had to, and having key players like Owen Williams still out, I think Freddie Burns had a brilliant game. He was really on form and
coming into his own.
Yeah, he really has stepped up. I think since he's brought in his own kicking coach, I've forgotten his name now, but since that's happened, he really seems to have found his feet a little bit more, and seems to be a bit more confident kicking from the tee, because that was always a bit of an issue. So as far as he goes, I think he's really coming into his own at Leicester. And just, I think they just need to carry on with that and gain with each game a bit more confidence, because they've not had a brilliant season this year.
Yeah, from an extra point of view, obviously they lost the cup final last weekend. They've lost now to Leicester and have slipped slightly in the Premiership. Is the danger that the wheels are coming off on what was looking to be a very, very impressive season for Exeter?
Yeah, of course. I think even though they've got a big squad, when you come to this end of the season, I think fatigue is a massive thing. I think because they've been playing and performing at such a high intensity, that can catch up with you. And when you're playing teams like Leicester, who are bringing people back from injury, and they look really good actually on the weekend, Leicester, and I think they shouldn't let it dishearten them. I think because obviously Rob Baxter, he really believes in that core, doesn't he? I think they're going to come together this week and really work towards that goal. And I think, but do I think the wheels come off? I don't, because I don't think they can play that well all season with the players they've got as well. I think they'll come back this weekend.
But yeah, obviously they've got the Challenge Cup this weekend, still chatting with a shout of silverware with that. But obviously things not looking quite as rosy as they did a week ago.
No, you say that with a smile, but no, they're not.
Moving on to our third Premiership game, obviously Saracens 42, Harlequins 14. Molly, the comprehensiveness victory, does that say everything about the Premiership this year, or just does it say everything about Harlequins' season?
A bit of both, really. I think the standard of rugby this season has been brilliant, and like I said, a real mix of teams up at the top. But Harlequins, they seem to be so indifferent in the minute. I'm not quite sure what's going on, whether they there's stuff in the back room that's going on a little bit. I know they kind of can't, I just don't feel like they've found their feet this season, and you can't even guarantee a home win with them anymore. I'm not quite sure really what's going on. I'm sure they know what they need to improve on, and they're working on that, but it was just a bit of a funny game for them, and I think really that just sums up their whole season, really. It's a bit of a weird one. I can't quite put my finger on what it is, but they one weekend they seem to be, you know, looking a bit better, and then the next weekend it just undoes all of that work. So it's a bit of a weird one, I think.
I think that they've got one eye on next season now. I think they're bringing in some really good players. Obviously they're losing a few good players, but I think the acquisitions they're making is they want to come back with a bang. I think Tim Viss is their latest one this week. That's a really, really good signing, obviously with Hugo Monier retiring. And I think the quality that they're bringing in, I don't think they'll be gone for long. Because when they're on their form, obviously they're one of the top teams in the Premiership. In terms of Saracens, I think they're coming into form at the right time. I think Northampton should watch their back, because obviously coming up to the playoffs, they're hitting form.
Well, one thing that we didn't mention, because you mentioned all the changing shapes of people's squads in the Leicester Exeter game, try from Jeff Parling against the club he's set to join in the summer.
Yeah.
He celebrated as well.
And also, Thomas Waldrum got into a bit of hot water against his former team as well. So I think it was...
Yeah, he got a try as well, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think things were said and there was a few scowls given and all that sort of stuff. I think Jeff Parling going to Exeter, obviously it's a massive, massive positive for them and, well, for Exeter. He's a great player, brilliant experience internationally, British and Irish line, all that sort of stuff. And there's gonna be a big hole left at Tigers when he goes. I know they've got people coming in and guys coming up through the development squad who are capable of potentially filling his shoes, but it's such a loss for the Tigers. And I think not only does Richard Cockrell know, but the rest of the team does.
Yeah, moving into the Pro 12 now. Obviously, the big game of the week we highlighted last week at the top was Leicester versus Glasgow, and a 34-all draw was played out. Molly, we've seen quite a few draws this season in all competitions, sort of a high anomalous amount. Obviously, it's not a sport where you get a lot of them, but there seems to have been quite a few this year. Is it just the high standard of play from all sides, or is it just one of those strange things that happens sometimes?
Yeah, I think it's... I don't really know how sort of we seem to have had so many, but I think it just shows that the battle in the Pro 12 is so tough. You know, two top sides between Leinster and Glasgow, they're both fighting for that for every single win to try and gain as many points and an advantage as possible. I think it just shows the standard of rugby so high, and there's always that fight back. I feel like one will score a try and then the others are like, there seems to be no disheartening, which you sometimes find within teams, that there's a few tries given or points scored or whatever, and they seem to lose confidence. Between these two teams, you didn't get any of that, and they really fought tooth and nail to get that final score, and it just shows really with the final score.
Yeah, Jack, your thoughts on the tightness of the Leinster-Glasgow game?
I think obviously Leinster haven't been at their best this season, but I think Glasgow would be quite happy with that. Obviously going away, and they're fighting for the title, and they would have had their internationals back. I think to go over there and get that result is really good. I think Leinster might have one eye on this weekend, if they're being honest. But I think all in all, I don't think both teams would be too disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, these are top of the Pro 12 with 8 points separating the top five sides, from Glasgow all the way down to Leinster. Obviously, you've got Ulster, Munster, Ospreys. It's so tight. I mean, you really could be any of those sides winning at this point.
Yeah, I think Glasgow seem to be showing the form to be able to go away and pull out a result like that. I think they'll take a lot of heart from that going into the final few weeks.
Yeah, moving across the channel to the top 14, Toulouse have been playing well, but Toulouse went into Toulon and won 34-24. I mean, obviously it's not the form Toulon would really want to be showing going back into Champions Cup rugby. Jack, your thoughts on Toulon losing at home the week before the quarterfinals?
Yeah, I think it would be a massive blow for them, obviously losing at home, and especially to Toulouse in terms of the title race. And this week they've lost the standing fly half, Nicolas Sanchez, as well. He's gone back to Argentina because Michalak was back playing in that game. So I think in terms of them this weekend, I think they'll still be confident going into it, because if they were going to pick out a team, I think they probably would have picked Wasps to play. But it can be good psychologically to lose at home, especially with their fans on their back. And I was very surprised, because French teams are notoriously bad on the road. I mean, what an excellent result for Toulouse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Pick up a win.
Right, Molly, your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think Toulouse came from an 11-point deficit or something in the first half, and to win by 10 points, you know, they made up a whole 21 points. I think that just shows the calibre of that side, that they're not going to, you know, take a defeat lightly. Toulon will probably feel like they've thrown the game away, but you know, I think, like you said, before next week, it's probably not what they wanted. But you know, that's just how it goes. And obviously, Toulouse deserve that win to come back from that many points down. It just shows how much deeper they can dig when they really set their minds to it.
Yeah, definitely. That wraps up our weekend roundup. There's been a few other, obviously, headlines this week. We start off back in Leinster. Manu Tuilagi has been ruled out for the rest of the season. Obviously, a big blow to both Leinster and to Tuilagi himself, especially with the World Cup on the horizon. Molly, is this really going to have him struggling for the World Cup now, or does it actually help him in the fact that he'll be rested and won't have a chance to pick up any more injuries?
I think he just wants as much game time as he can. And I know he's I think he's looking to train with the England camp in June time and try and get as many minutes there as he can and really remind Richard Cockerill how talented he is. But it just shows by what happened in the Six Nations, they managed to come runners up without him. And not that he is the one and only centre that England have that is good, but I think with each game that England played that he doesn't, it's almost like he slips a bit into the background a bit. So he's definitely going to want to get out there as soon as possible and show everyone still what he's capable of. As far as it goes for Leicester, they just need as many positives as they can get, and this is, I think, people were riding their hopes on Manu coming back, and now that he's not, it's almost a little bit of a blow for them. He's obviously going to have his sights set on the World Cup, as all the England guys are, and it will be a massive loss if he's not there. But you know, there's guys that can fill his place if need be. He's not, you know, irreplaceable. He's a very good player, of course, but you know, there's other guys out there that possibly deserve a chance as well. And if he's not fit and he's not fully match ready, then I think Stuart Lancaster's really got a few big decisions to make.
Yeah, Jack, talking to Sri Lanka's decisions at centre, obviously this further limits his options. I think we're all in agreement on this show that Luther Burrell is not the answer at inside centre.
No.
Although Jonathan Joseph has stuck his hand up for the number 13 shirt.
Yeah.
I think we all would have liked to have seen what the two of them can do together, and we may still get that chance. The Tuolangi and Joseph partnership could be quite potent, but we don't know at this point, and that, I think that's what Lancaster would have liked to have seen. Obviously we've spoken about the other options. You've got Eastman, Barrett, Burgess and Slade all sort of pushing for that role.
I think in terms of match fitness, I don't think he'll be in there. I don't think he'll be rushed back whatsoever, because I think the ideal scenario for Lancaster would probably be Tuolagi and Joseph, and then maybe Barrett as a replacement. But I think I'm not. I mean, would you want Slade at inside centre? Because he's not that large in stature, is he? I mean, he'll give you a different angle in terms of creative play, but then you've got that at 13. So I'd ideally like to see a bigger player at 12, like Tuolagi or Barrett. Because
I know you're not his biggest fan, but obviously Burgess scored a try at the weekend. He's going to be playing with Joseph Bath.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to having him in there. It's just the fact that at points he still looks confused. I mean, defensively, I'd love to have him there. I've always said that, but you can't have. I mean, he just looked well out of his depth in the Saxons. So I think maybe give him more time. He's starting to make his mark. So I'm definitely not opposed to having him in there.
Yeah, obviously, England have one fixture left this season, and that's the Barbarians.
Mm.
Would you play Burgess in that game?
I mean, I think if I wouldn't, if everyone was fit, but because the centre partnership and Six Nations didn't work and Burrell was not effective whatsoever, we need, just because of how Burgess is and the type of player that he is, I think we need to just throw him in there and see if it'll work.
Yeah.
He's definitely on the outskirts, isn't he? He must be in Stuart Lancaster's sights, wherever that may be.
Yeah.
For him to be in the Saxon squad early this year to, you know, I think, what was it, six games of uni he played?
Yeah,
he just looked really out of depth then.
I mean, no doubt about it, he did. And I think at times it was a little bit like, what on earth is he doing on the pitch? But I think since then he's improved and he's learnt a lot. And he's just one of them players that draws guys towards him, don't you think? And
yeah, he's going to create so much space for players like Ford and Joseph around him.
And when you've got that speed from Joseph and from Mike Brown, who can, you know, pace things up a bit when he needs to, if he can create that space, then if that's his job on the field, as well as putting that in them big tackles, then so be it. He has his uses, doesn't he?
Yeah, the potential is just staggering to think about from him as a centre. If we don't have Tuilagi, I think he's pretty much like for like. He's obviously not as good yet, but he could be.
His core skills are right up there with probably anyone else we're talking about. It's just getting the sort of familiarity with the code. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I think
he's got capabilities, hasn't he? And I personally think it's quite exciting to see what he can bring to it. I know not everyone's going to agree, and people will say that there's other players out there who've been playing Union all their lives and they understand the game a lot better and perhaps they deserve the chance. But I personally think it's quite exciting to see how he can develop his game and grow within Union.
You don't become one of, if not the best player in rugby league without having some talent to back it up.
Yeah, I didn't agree before, but now you look at it with the situation that we're in, the inside centre obviously isn't working, so I think he would be the next kind of showman there. Obviously Barrett's a different type of player, so it depends what type of game you want to play. I think obviously Fiji aren't small and they're the first game.
Yeah.
So you'd want a powerful inside centre, wouldn't you?
Yeah, from obviously one league convert to another, Kevin Sinfield announces that he will move from the Leeds Rhinos to the Yorkshire Carnegie in the Championship at the end of the current Super League season. The 34-year-old player, obviously coming to the end of his league career, decided to cross code. We probably won't be talking about him in an England shirt, given his age and the fact that he's playing in the But what do we make of this move? Does it give... I mean, obviously Yorkshire are a bit off the playoffs this year, unlikely to make it, so won't be playing Premiership next year. But does this give them a bit of impetus for next year's Championship to push on and hope and look to join that playoff race next year?
So this was an interesting one, because obviously they're being given some backing now, because they brought in Redpath and they've brought in Sinfield and they're taking a lot of young players on loan, so I think their ambition is definitely there, and it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in as well. It surprised me because he was so late in his career, but I suppose he's achieved quite a lot and he just wants...
I think there's pretty much he's achieved everything he can really in rugby league.
So, I mean, why not? I think they're a very good team at the moment, so I think he can really add to that.
I mean, he said he didn't want to play against Leeds Rhinos, and he's always respected Union and wanted to try it, so felt why a natural not? Move. And he doesn't, staying in Leeds, he doesn't have to uproot his family, so it makes sense. But obviously, makes it another contender for the Championship next year. Mm. Obviously, you're going to have London Welsh, you're going to be looking to bounce back, plus three teams that miss out when they get in the playoffs. So it could be a very interesting season next year in the Championship.
I think that can only be a good thing as well.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
What are your thoughts on Kevin Sinfield making the jump across codes?
Yeah, I think we're seeing more and more of it, aren't we? And probably in the next couple of years, we'll perhaps see a lot more players, possibly not of Sinfield's age, which sounds really... sort of offensive, but you know, is he 30? Is it
34?
I mean, he's been at Rhino since 97, hasn't he? So
yeah, he was made captain at 22, so he's been there a long time.
Credit to him. I think I read somewhere that he's about 3 or 4 points off reaching 4,000 points in his career, which just in itself just shows how good a player he is, and shows how much dedication he's got to the sport. So for him to change to Union, it's probably, I don't like to say it, perhaps his swan song, being that age. I think he signed a year for Carnegie, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Or was it a year or 18 months?
I think it's 18 months. So I'd suspect you're looking more at a one season with an option for a second, depending on where they are. I think if they were to get promoted, he'd definitely fancy one crack at the
Premiership.
Yeah. So I think a lot will depend on how next season goes as to how far he takes it.
I mean, you just got to look at guys like Nick Easter and Brad Thorne, who's now 40, still playing in the Premiership. Sometimes age is just the number, isn't it? And if you've still got that get up and go and the passion for the game, it doesn't matter what age you are, and you never know, a couple of years time he could still be knocking around on a Union pitch somewhere. So yeah, no, it'd be interesting. It would be nice to see how he transfers them skills as well between league and Union.
Yeah, and from one Championship club to another, we're going to talk about Jersey. This week it was announced that Superman will be attending one of their games. Henry Cavill has announced he will be attending the annual Jersey versus Guernsey game. Obviously, Henry Cavill is a Jersey lad. Obviously, he won't be playing in the game. Jersey have been doing very well themselves. Obviously, they've risen up through the ranks to get to the championship, and they're sort of solid mid-table this season. Jack, is this good PR for Jersey in the game in the Channel Islands? Obviously, they've been doing well. Can this help them get the sort of required attention to push on in the championship?
Yeah, 100%. I think they've done really well this year. They've made a few good signings. And I think that can only help. They've got quite good backing as well from Matt Banahan, promotes them a lot. Obviously, plays for Bath. I think it's a really tight-knit community, and with him coming back, it just shows how tight-knit it is. Mm. I think they'll want as much attention on the game as they can, and it can only make the event better. I think it's obviously going to be a great spectacle for it, because they're obviously big rivals, so yeah, I'm sure he'll be rooting for his for Jersey.
Yeah, Molly, do you think Jersey can use this as a platform to push on and challenge for promotion to the Premiership? Obviously, they've come up a long way in quite a short space of time.
Yeah, and they are a good, brilliant side. I mean, I know a few of their players have been roped into the Premiership. I think Tigers had one of their guys, and I think Saints might have done, maybe.
Yeah, Tigers also played a friendly down there.
Yeah, they play an annual friendly. They'd fly across and have that and make a good weekend of it. And if Henry Cavill's there for that, I might have to go over as well. Who knows? Yeah, it's I think it's going to be good. I'm not sure if it's more of a media hype thing about it, but you always know the Jersey Guernsey game is going to be a good one, no matter who's there watching, who's playing, that sort of thing. It's that that grudge match, isn't it? So that always seems to produce amazing rugby. So definitely going to be looking forward to that one when sort of they play that and see what happens in it.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be an interesting day. Obviously, huge rivalries, and hopefully it'll be a good game. Okay, moving on again. Obviously, this weekend we have the return of European rugby with both the Champions Cup and the Challenge Cup. First of all, we're going to preview the Champions Cup. We've got all four English sides remaining playing away. Got Leinster versus Bath, Claremont versus Northampton, Racing Metro versus Saracens, and Toulon versus Wasps. Molly, your thoughts on the Champions Cup quarterfinal lineup?
I think it's going to be. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't quite decide who I'm going to put my money on yet. I'm not sure. Are we doing a sweepstake, guys?
No, we'll just.
Yeah, let's do it.
Jack's like, yeah, just do it.
Jack just wants to catch up as he saw that, having seen all those tries running for Wales that are.
Oh, mate.
Me and the Irish won, the Six Nations one.
Oh, it's tough.
Come on, I mentioned it and I'm rubbish at this, so it can't be that bad. I'm really looking forward to it. I think I'm definitely keeping my eye on the Clermont Saints game, purely because if Saints win, they're going to be playing more towards my side. I heard somewhere that if Saints won against Clermont, they might be playing next at the Rico at Coventry.
Really?
Yeah. Why? I'm not quite sure.
I suppose you bring the crowds.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if it's just because it's a big stadium or what. I just heard it on the grapevine. Maybe that was a bit of a idle gossip. But no, I think that's definitely because they are such a big side in the Premiership. I think them travelling to Clermont, they obviously wanted that home advantage. They didn't get it. They're really going to have to take it to them and show what they've got to stay in the competition, because I think they're really eyeing up this year's Champions Cup as well as the Premiership, and they're just going to want to be getting as much silverware as possible.
Yeah, Jack. Your thoughts? Do any, apart from London, do the other English sides really have a chance, or do you see home wins pretty much throughout?
I didn't when it initially came out, but when, as I said earlier, Saracens are hitting form, I think if they can go over there and perform at their best, I seriously think they can nick a win. Whether they will is another story, but that if I was going to back any English team, I would back Saracens, because I think I would back Northampton, but Claremont was just too strong at home, and they just their history in this sort of, this cup, and they're just dying to win it. I think Claremont would be too strong. Bath, obviously they haven't been playing that well, but I think the return of their international players will massively help them. And I think
A few English players that are looking to sort of get over the loss there in the Aviva Stadium in the Six Nations.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's even more impetus, isn't it? And I think because they obviously come back in relatively good spirits, and I think they'll want to right the wrongs. And I think that's so hard to call. I mean, it's going to be such a great weekend, isn't it? But the only game I would say I would certainly bet on would be Toulon to win.
Yeah, go back to what Molly said. The semi final stadiums have been announced.
Oh, right.
Toulon, if they beat Wasps, will have a semi final in the Stade Velodrome. However, if Wasps win,
here we go,
it's going to be at the American Express Community Stadium in Brighton.
That's
the Challenge Cup, yeah?
And it'd be Leinster or Bath.
That's where they played the 20s the other day, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, if...
Did you say if Wasps win or if Saints win?
If Wasps win.
Okay.
If Clermont win, it'll be in St Etienne. If Saints win, you're right, Molly, it will be at the Rico Arena. So, yeah. And that's obviously for the...
What about Bath?
Bath... If they beat Leinster, would be the away side against Toulon or Wasps.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Stupid question, my bad.
And obviously, it'd be Racing Metro or Saracens at either St Etienne or Coventry.
I mean, as a Leicester Tigers fan, there's that whole thing between Tigers and Saints, but I want Saints to win just purely because the Rico is just down the road from me. It's quite selfish, but it would be good. It would be really good to see them playing there.
It's going to be such a good weekend as we go, I think.
I mean, obviously, then we've got the final of this and the Challenge Cup at Twickenham and the Stoop, respectively, coming up in the start of May. So there's plenty of rugby for us to see, and I think all eight sides would make good final challenges, as it were.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the Leinster Bath game? Because I think that's my there's a bit of ambiguity between that one for me, because I'm kind of Bath have just been so good this season, but Leinster equally, especially nailing that that draw with Glasgow.
Yeah, Leinster just always pull out the bag, don't they?
Yeah.
Especially with being at home. I'm back in Bath.
They're very good at this level of the competition. So
it's Bath's time to shine.
All right, if we're going to do the sweepstake, I'll start with you, Jack. Your four winners.
I'm going with Bath because they're relatively local to me. Clermont, Saracens, and Toulon. Or do you want me to go Wasps just to be?
No. You can go with like so. You've got Bath, Clermont.
Yeah.
Would you say Saracens?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And Toulon.
Yeah.
And what about you, Molly?
I think I'm going to go Leinster, Saints.
Racing Metro.
I think I might go Racing Metro and Toulon.
So.
Okay. I will go for Leinster, Northampton.
You all jumped over to the Irish side now, haven't you?
So this is they won the Six Nations and he got it for them.
Know. Rob's loving it at the moment.
I'm going to go for Metro and I'm going to go for Wasps.
Oh, good man. Someone had to.
So I'm going to...
The odds must just be astronomical on that.
You never know.
I think that would be one of the greatest wins in the history of the cup. Do you know what I think?
Yeah.
It would, but obviously they've got good players and Toulon lost their last home game, so...
Yeah, it can be done.
Yeah. We'll move across to the Challenge Cup now. Obviously, we've got Gloucester versus Connaught, Newport Gwent Dragons versus Cardiff Blues, Exeter, Newcastle, and London Irish, Edinburgh. Which of you, which Jack, which do you see as the standout tie, really?
Probably Exeter, Newcastle. Because as we said earlier, Exeter want to bounce back, and Newcastle want to take advantage of their slip in form. Because Exeter have made no secret that they've got their eye on this competition. So I think Newcastle want to go down to Sandy Park and steal the show. I think that'll be the game that I have my eye on. But equally, Gloucester have been relatively poor in the league, so they'll want to put that right. I mean, they're unbeaten in this competition so far. So, and again, being at home, they've got the advantage there.
Molly, is there are you particularly got your eye on?
The Exeter Newcastle game I'm really interested in purely because they the whole Premiership thing, they've got a lot of things to sort out there, sort of. It's a that's going to be one of my highlights of the weekend. The Newport Gwent Dragons and Cardiff Blues game, that's definitely going to be a good one as well. I think each side have got a lot to prove. I think Cardiff might just snag it, but you never know. If Wasps manage to win away at Toulon, then Cardiff might get beaten by Newport at the weekend as well. But you never know. So I think I'd probably go.
We'll start off with you. Who do you have?
I think I might go. I'm going to go Gloucester. Just put my neck on the line. I'm going to go Gloucester, Cardiff, Exeter. And then I might go Irish because they had a pretty good weekend last weekend with a few tries. So I might go Irish.
Hey, Jack?
I'm going Gloucester, Newport, Exeter, and Edinburgh. I got a feeling I'm going to be wrong on the last one, but I'm just going to do it anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go Connaught, just to be different.
Fair play.
I'm going to go for Cardiff, Exeter, and Irish as well.
I think Irish had a good weekend last weekend. The few tries. Can't think who they were playing now.
Yeah. To be fair, they had a very good game at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting. Obviously, you looking at those. This is not for points or anything, but. At this point, who are your favourites for each cup, guys? Molly?
Ooh.
God, Robbie, you've come out the zingers tonight, haven't you?
I know. I think, for me, it would probably have to be Leinster for the Champions Cup.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Leinster, just because I'm, especially having a home quarter-final, I know what it's like there, and that crowd is just amazing. They just lift the team so much. I've never experienced anything like it. So credit to the Leinster supporters because they really back the boys. So I'm probably going to go Leinster for Champions Cup and Exeter for Challenge.
Jack?
I'm going Claremont, I think. It has to be their year, and there's no better time than now. And I'm gonna go. I'll go Exeter Gloucester final, and Gloucester are gonna win it.
Local Southwest Derby.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I'll be going because I already have tickets for both finals.
Mr. Smug. What about you, Rob? Give me a far away.
I'm going to go for Racing Metro to win the Champions Cup. I think they've looked the most impressive throughout the whole tournament. And I'm going to side with Molly on this, and I think Exeter will win the Challenge Cup. Nice. I think it will be the cherry on a very good season for Exeter.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough.
And that wraps up our European preview. Obviously, tune in next week to see how wrong we all were.
Very wrong, yeah.
We move on now to our community club shout out of the week, and this week we go to Molly for that.
Yeah, so we're going to go over to Leicester Forest Rugby Football Club. They are based just outside Leicester at Leicester Forest East. I think they play in Midlands 2 East with places like Oakham and Lutworth and places like that. So they've got a good draw as far as the league goes. I think they've been on a bit of a losing streak during this month, but I think obviously they're hoping to bring that back up. They go from minis, so from the little tag rugby sides, to right up to seniors. And I think they might have a vets team as well. But they do quite well as and when they can. And I think it's 25th of May, which I believe is bank holiday weekend. They've got a sevens tournament. So if you're in around the Midlands area and you fancy sort of getting a team together for the sevens tournament, it's 23rd of May, sorry. Saturday 23rd of May, it's the sevens tournament, £2,000 prize money. All the information's on their Pitch Hero site. And they're also on Twitter. I think it's at Leicester Forest RFC on Twitter. So just give them a search, and they're a great little club. Always do great little tournaments. So, like I said, if you're in the area the end of May and you've got a sevens side, then get down there. It would be great to support that local side. So, yeah, shout out to Leicester Forest RFC.
Good work, Molly. Big shout out to Leicester Forest RFC.
That's all we've got
time for this week. Thanks again to Jack and Molly. Follow Molly on Twitter at
Molly Ray Maria.
Follow Jack on Twitter,
JackPit94, and LWS Rugby if you want to.
Obviously follow myself at LWS Rob, and follow the show on at LWS Flanker. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/LWS Flanker, and obviously subscribe to the show on iTunes and everything. So we will see you all next week. Thanks very much, guys.
Bye. Thank you.